Okay. Hello, welcome to my talk. I'm Stefan Lattner, research leader of the music team of Sony CSL in Paris. And the talk today is about the generative AI in music production, like in conventional music production. The question was, is there a paradigm shift to come? And that's actually a reasonable question, because we know that artificial intelligence is very powerful, especially generative AI nowadays. We see it in language models, we see it in image and video generation. And also we saw that always in music technology, always when music technology advanced in history, we had different ways to interact with music, and also the way music sound changed, basically. So we had the well-tempered tuning in the 17th century that changed the way we can compose music. We had synthesizers in the beginning of the 20th century and mid-20th century. We had drum machines and samplers towards the end of the 20th century, and then digital audio workstations, where it was a very different way to create the musical tracks, basically more like a batch work, and you can use different audio files and combine them together and be very flexible with that. So it's definitely, AI will definitely have an impact. I can tell you this already, spoiler alert. A few words about what Sony Computer Science Laboratories is about. This is basically, there are several different laboratories, some in Tokyo, in Paris, in Kyoto, and in Rome. And we are concerned with generally with fundamental research in all kinds of different areas and with different paradigms and technologies. And our mission in Sony CSL music team is that we explore new and innovative ways of using AI for music production, for modern music production. And that's Kitano-san, the founder of Sony CSL, and is now TPO of Sony. Yeah, and that's an overview of the music team. So of the music teams, I have to say, so on top we see the music team of Tokyo, and in the middle is the music team in Paris. And so basically research is at the heart of what we're doing, of course. But we also want to provide access to our technologies for artists and for general audience. And that's why we have development teams that basically try to create prototypes and successfully creating prototypes out of our technologies. And it's also useful and necessary to basically then work together with artists and gather feedback and further advance what we are doing. And yeah, and we're also working with external partners, like different Sony departments. Generative music is very interesting, particularly, for example, for Sony Interactive Entertainment, which is concerned with, you know, games production. Games are becoming bigger and bigger, and it's more and more necessary to create musical content. It's also interesting to create dynamic music that adapts to current gameplay, for example. So in that regard, this is interesting. We, of course, work together with different artists as well. And we also had a collaboration with the industry, for example, Steinberg. They implemented one of our generative neural audio synthesizers 2-3 years ago in one of their products. And it was actually the first neural audio synthesizer that was available on the market. This was DrumGun. I will mention it later again. So yeah, let's see what will be the impact of AI in the music ecosystem. There are different areas in the music ecosystem where AI could be impactful. So there is a rough categorization in the creator economy, which basically we could say that's music production. We have a business application, like playlisting, catalogs, and licensing. That's important. In piracy and plagiarism, AI has its role. And last but not least, education. And especially when it comes to music production, so we have intelligent tools, intelligent instruments, neural audio synthesizers, which more and more now grow together. So we have basically more and more intelligent neural audio synthesizers So because we can now create directly audio from neural networks. Yeah, source separation is an important topic also for creative use, because you can do remixes, you can isolate specific tracks or instruments or voices, and you can remix songs. And also part of music production is, as I said before, it's if you build up a music project, it's kind of a patchwork of many different elements, and a lot of them are actually retrieved from the internet, or artists buy loops from the internet. And there it's still interesting to make this less cumbersome and more effective, to have intelligent recommendation systems that listen to your current music and maybe recommend musical material that fits your current project. Yeah. What's interesting as well is in education, I guess, because simply AI makes music making more accessible, and so this could lead to more popularization. It's just that music production is still a pretty steep learning curve. In order to really create a finished song, you can play around very quickly, but in order to really create something complete, it's still not that easy. So if we can lower this this entry barrier with AI, it's naturally leads to more to people that would learn music production. We can imagine AI teachers, so systems that listen and give you feedback, and also for music performance it could be interesting. Yeah, what I also wanted to mention is in the business applications, functional music is also very interesting, because, as I said before, for music, for games, game music, for music like for sports, or also the car industry looks into generative music already. So here it's not so much about the creative act of an artist, but it's just about musical material that that is useful for specific purposes. Yeah, and what we can see is that whenever we create models that are able to generate music, we also have models that automatically understand music, and that's why models can be used for different purposes. So inner representations of the models, for example, can then used for similarity detection, for example, in piracy. Okay, I want to give this example. This was last year, two music platforms went online. One was Suno, and this is an example of Udio. And there are a few challenges coming with this generative AI. For example, Udio and Suno don't necessarily have a very fair data strategy, let's put it that way. They trained it on their models on a lot of data scraped from the internet, and I mean, we actually get really impressive models with that. So it's really nice to see what can be done with artificial intelligence and generative AI. For example, this is a song that is on the personal account of David Ding, that's actually the CEO of Udio. And you can generate music using a text prompt and providing some lyrics. And this is an example where, I mean, meanwhile they forbid text prompts like song in the style of someone, but somehow David Ding has this still online on his account, which reads a song in the style of the Beatles. And then you get results like this.
Right now.
Yeah, so we can see it's really fine music, but we also see that it's music from the Beatles, and they didn't really clear the rights for the Beatle dataset. So that's one of the challenges, and this actually is not really good for the public perception of generative AI. It's definitely a problem. But also for artists, it's not very interesting to only put in a text prompt or one sentence, and then you get out a fixed, finished song. Actually, artists want to, you know, and they enjoy the process of music making rather than the output on alone. So, and that's why we are out for a different approach. So, again, problems with the low acceptance of artists and also then data providers and public is that there are systems out there that really perform copyright violation. The software is not necessarily artist-centric. I mean, it can have its use. I mean, for end users, it's interesting to generate music when they want some background music for their YouTube video, but it's not necessarily interesting for artists. And also, one of the problems is also why should an artist contribute to a data set where AI is trained on if there are no proper revenue models in place yet? And this is really still something the whole community needs to work on. And at Sony CSL we try to we have ethical and legal principles where we acquire data legally. We focus on really creating artist-centric technology, and also we investigate revenue models. There are companies like Surreal AI and that already work on artist attribution, where you can basically assign, having a generated output of a model, you can trace back how much influence every artist in your dataset had on this output. So that might be a way to go in the future. Still comes with problems, but there are some ways to deal with this, and yeah, to basically compensate artists fairly. And we're in communication with Sony Music and also with SACEM in order to coordinate. Yeah, what does it mean, artist-centric technologies? Well, usually the music production process consists of several steps. Even though nowadays it's often the case that the composition, arrangement, and recording is actually merging into working, recording, and playing around in your DAW, in your digital audio workstation. But also mixing and mastering is often that artists are really good in creating projects, but then they are not so. So skilled in mixing and mastering, and it's often the case that semi-professional artists have a lot of dead projects where they just did not manage to actually create the final output. So there are different stages in this music production process where not every artist is proficient in all of these steps, and we're looking into the steps and trying to create very modular, customizable models that are controllable, and where basically we can help artists over some if there are problems. But at the same time, it's still pretty cumbersome. Some processes in music production are cumbersome, and AI models can help. So the focus is on controllability. One could also say it's a bit like fluid autonomy. So whenever I want the AI to be more autonomous, I'm able to ask the AI to do something for me, but it should go down to the very to the very detail where I have control. If I want to, I want to have control down to the note level or expressivity and this kind of stuff. Iterative refinement is interesting and also opposed to text prompt based generation, because I could always fiddle around with prompt and I always get a new output, and it's interesting in a creative process to have iterative refinements. And whenever it's possible, we try to create lightweight models that run on the system in the studio on a notebook. Yeah, and throughout the years we created a palette of prototypes already. So we have our creative AI companions, we have synthesizers, neural audio synthesizers and samplers, we have audio processing mastering tools, writing assistant and audio analysis tools. And the creative AI companions, it was always our philosophy, as opposed to having text prompts that generate you some output, that the artist actually prompts with musical material. So they can input their current project as an audio file, and then the AI generates something to this audio file that goes along well. And that's actually a much more natural way to prompt an AI model, especially when it comes to music production. So DrumNet, for example, created just drum rhythms to an existing song. BassNet, obviously bass lines. And now our new flagship model, I will give I will show a video. The DiffaRiff model is basically a stem generator that can generate any kind of instrument to an existing piece. And so an artist can basically build up a project instrument by instrument and has full control over the generation process. We also had neural audio synthesizers and samplers basically generating short audio snippets, samples, drum samples, or synthesizer samples. Yeah, and two of these prototypes are now online since last year. If someone wants to scan the QR code, feel free. And so they are just openly accessible now. DrumGun is the one that I mentioned before, which is the where Steinberg put this into one of the programs, applications. So here you can simply generate drum samples with latent space exploration and some additional controls. And on the right side we see Sample Match, which is a drum sample recommendation engine. So basically it selects drum samples from a big library that it thinks fit to your current song, which also makes it easier to explore sample libraries. Yeah, and we work together with several artists. And these artists actually are in different genres and create different styles. And if you have adaptive models that actually listen to your current music, you can actually serve a lot of different styles and artists. So as an example, I show you a video of four different artists that have actually different styles. What's interesting, the first artist, for example, Chaton, he created a full album where he used only neural audio synthesizers of our prototypes and his own voice. But any sound that you hear is actually generated by neural audio synthesizers.
Dis pourquoi tu viens comme un dos si c'est juste pour une chanson de moi.
So it's nice to see if music is actually out there that is enjoyed by the audience and where AI was used to create it. We we had a lot of findings when working with artists. We had a lot of insights. For example, we really need to respect the workflow of the artist. Such AI tools should really go. Artists have their workflow, and the AI tools should really be easy to use in the workflow. So we focus on plugins rather than having standalone applications and so on. And also, artists want to have adaptive and customizable output, and this is actually what we're focusing on anyway, by using audio and music as prompts. Then it should be real time, it should be fast, because I want to do iterative refinement. I want to basically approach my creative idea, and I don't want to wait for too long. So even if it works on a computer, on a local computer, and users should obviously not be constrained by AI. And so in practice, this helps then to overcome writer's blocks, and you have always access to stronger musical technological expertise. Some artists mentioned that they feel like they have a companion in the studio, and where there's a back and forth of sharing ideas. And also customization is important. As I said before, artists currently download loops from the internet and use those loops. And then the very good loops are used by many artists, so it's not very it's not very unique, your own creation, and people recognize very famous loops in several songs. And if you generate your content, you won't have this problem. So this is now an example from a symbolic generative AI, where it's again prompted and controlled by actually musical content, and it's designed as an inpainting application, which means if you have some polyphonic piano music, it can generate parts that are missing in between some past and some future context, but it can also perform outpainting, so you can basically prompt it with a musical idea and it can just continue generating. So that's an interesting tool in that regard. Also, we had artists that used this for chamber orchestra. So even though it's only piano, you can always still then separate the tracks afterwards. And it can adapt to many different styles depending on the context that the musician inputs. And this is now. So the next video that I will show you is based on this vision of what we could call fluid audio manipulation, the idea is, can you treat audio like clay that you can form in several steps according to your ideas? And so the idea is here that you can put in any context, any audio file, your current project. you can then prompt the model with either text or reference audio in addition. So you can basically give a guitar track, and then the model should play in the same style and in the same with the same timbre. We have in painting, so whenever we have a generation where some parts should be regenerated, that's possible. We have there is this possibility to define sliders, faders, where you can basically define the concepts that is that the fader should have at inference time when you're using the AI. You will see this in the video afterwards, where you can fade towards latent percussion from a normal percussion rhythm. And and it would be nice to have access down to the note level or chord level, so that you can manipulate the output further. And yeah, that's called Differif. And we introduced it end of last year. Okay, I stop it here because I want to show you another short video afterwards, and I'm running out of time. But so you can also use this model to create seamless repetitions, so loops that are basically repeating seamlessly. So there are different controls that you can use, and also the fact that you generate instrument by instrument really just gives you much more access to the musical the process of music making. So that's just a very short video to see how you can build up a track by adding instrument by instrument that is generated by Differif, starting from a context. Yeah, so I hope you got an idea of where we are heading at in terms of how AI could transform music making. So the goal is to make the process more accessible and more efficient, and then as a result, hopefully, just more fun. And music making, it's finally ultimately about fun. And I hope that the work that we're doing can contribute to getting such tools and this way of music production. Yeah, thank you very much.